Do we have that missions video up for us?
Video?
Mission video. Don't know about missions video.
I don't know about it.
That's all right. We'll just go on then. I will say I failed to announce in the bulletin that we are taking bids for the next couple of days for our groundskeeper and custodian. Those bids will be accepted and voted on the next business meeting, which is this Wednesday night. And there's information about that if you're interested in submitting a bid, or more information about that, you can talk to Barry, Dee, or Bill, and they'll let you know all about that. But all bids are due by the 6th, which is Tuesday. Is that right? Yes, Tuesday. So I failed to mention that, so I wanted to make sure you knew about that. If you have your Bibles this morning, I hope that you do, turn to Matthew chapter 2. As we continue our series on casting Christmas, the attributes and characteristics of the supporting cast of the Christmas narrative. And last week we looked at Joseph's life and saw how we could trust and obey and what that looks like in a believer's life. And this morning, I want to look at another character of the Christmas story. This morning, I want to look at and examine the Star of Bethlehem. Now, you might be thinking, now, Brother Chris, the star is not a character in the Christmas story. The star is not a person. Well, after all, it's just a star in the sky. Well, you might be right. It may just be a star in the sky, but I would not recommend telling my daughter Ella Kate that she heard that. I heard that because back when Ella Kate was a child, we had a lady who took extreme care and commitment in planning and producing the annual Christmas program. Miss Shelley would start working with the children after school, starting probably in August and September, and made sure everyone had their parts down to perfection, more than you could ever imagine. That right, Lisa? Lisa's giggling over there, yes. As you can guess, a manger scene was always the highlight of the annual children's Christmas play. And through the years, Ella Kate had played many different roles in Miss Shelley's Christmas productions. She'd been a shepherd multiple years. I think she was a wise man once. I even think she played a sheep a couple years. But she never got to play Mary. And oh, she wanted to play Mary. So her last year in the children's ministry, Ella Kate was really, really, as I said, she just really wanted to play Mary. She was determined to go to Miss Shelley on the first day of practice and tell her her desire to play Mary. So the day came, we took Ella Kate to play practice, and after practice we asked if she'd gotten the prize role, and with a very disappointed look on her face, she said, no. Trying to reassure our daughter, we told her every part of the Christmas story was important. And just because she wasn't Mary, her role was very important, just like all the other roles. So we did ask her, well, if you didn't get Mary, what part did you get? She said with very little excitement, I have to be the star. See, the play was called The Star of Bethlehem. So what Miss Shelley did was she dressed her in yellow top to bottom and put her face in the middle of a giant styrofoam star. And she stood over the manger looking down at Mary, which was played by her best friend, I might add, and Joseph by another friend. And if I remember right, baby Jesus was Ella Kate's baby doll. Ella Kate never got to play Mary until 2 years ago when she played Mary in one of the living nativity scenes that we're going to tonight. So I would not recommend saying to Ella Kate that the Star of Bethlehem is not a character in the Christmas story, because Ella Kate would tell you otherwise. The star may not be a human character in the Christmas narrative, but it does play an important role. And there is definitely some truths about our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's some truths about God that we can learn and apply in our Christian life. So if you found Matthew chapter 2, if you're able, will you please stand for the reading of God's Word? We're going to start in verse 2. It says, "As after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star at his rising and have come to worship him.' When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And he assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people and asked them where the Messiah would be born. in Bethlehem of Judea, they were told him, because this was written by the prophets, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no man's least among the rulers of Judah, because out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Jerusalem. Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and asked them the exact time the star appeared. And he said to them, Bethlehem, and said, go and search carefully for the child. When you find him, report back to me so that I too can go and worship him. After hearing the king, they went on their way, and there it was, the star. They had seen it at its rising. It led them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary and his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. God bless the reading of God's word this morning. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, we come to you, and we thank you so much for your word. Every bit of your word is important and applicable in our life, including the star that led the wise men to Jesus, Lord. We know that is a work, a miraculous work of you, Lord. And I pray as we examine this morning that you'll apply those truths, you apply those truths to our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. The account of the star. Now, Bethlehem has fascinated Bible students and astronomers for centuries. Some have claimed it was a conjunction of planets. Some say a comet. Some others say it was a supernova in the sky. So I think the question we have to ask, if there's all these theories about what the star was, what was the star and why is it important to our lives? Why is it important to the Christmas narrative? What was God's purpose behind the star of Bethlehem? So those are some of the questions I want us to ask this morning as we seek to understand God's purpose for the star. And here, As we do that, here are just a few facts about that. So getting right into our message this morning, the first point I think we can see is God's creation is displayed by the star of Bethlehem. God's creation is displayed by the star of Bethlehem. Have you ever gone outside and lie on the ground? Maybe when it's a bit drier and a bit warmer. But just lay there and admire the stars in the sky. You know, aren't they beautiful? Man, it blows my mind to think about how God created you and me and everything on this planet, but also how God carefully placed every star, planet, moon in the sky millions and millions and million miles away from here. If you think the same way, you are not alone, because thousands of years before Jesus was born, King David sat under the night sky and did the same thing when he wrote Psalms 8:3-4. It'll be on the screen behind me. It's when I observe your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you set in place. What is a human being that you remember him, a son of man that you look after him? David was amazed by the beauty and majesty of God's handiwork. Can I share with you that we, living in the time that we live right now, we have much more wisdom and knowledge of just how big and vast the universe is today than King David could ever possibly imagine, okay? Therefore, this is the way I process this. We should be even more awestruck as we consider the wonders of the universe in which we live in, amen? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created the galaxies and the stars and the sky. He set them all in motion in perfect harmony. But I need Brother Paul here this morning. I tell you what, I'm getting no amens. I tell you what. Think about our galaxy, the Milky Way. Every planet, moon, and star spins around the sun just at the right speed, velocity, and direction. Think about our planet Earth. It spins around the sun just in the right way that we have day and night, seasons of winter, spring, summer, and fall. Now think about the moon. It spins around the Earth in perfection to provide light when our side of the planet is away from the sun. This perfect balance could not be an accident. Amen. I'm glad you said that. But rather, it was set in motion by our Creator God. Not only can we observe those things, we also know how this happened because God gives it to us in His Word. in Genesis 1:14. It says, then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the skies to separate the day from the night. They will serve as a sign for the seasons and for the days and the years. God, in His perfection, designed the universe with order. And as we look into the night sky, we too can observe this beauty and order. This is what the wise men were doing. They knew that the sky was predictable. They knew the stars stayed pretty much unchanged, meaning the stars in the sky stayed in relative position to each other. But all of a sudden, something happened in the sky that caught their attention. Something out of the ordinary caught their attention and motivated to make the long journey to Jerusalem. Please remember, if God had not created the universe in such an order and perfection and precision, this star would have never stood out to these wise men. So before we consider the miracle of the star and a proper understanding of creation of the heavens must first take place. Well, not only is creation displayed through Bethlehem's star, there's something else we need to think about this star. We can find this in verse 2 of our passage. The scriptures are highlighted by the star of Bethlehem. We see the scriptures in the star. When these wise men got to Jerusalem, they began to ask in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, where is he who had been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star at its rising and have come to worship him. I believe that God placed something in these hearts of these wise men, these magi, that they connected this star with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They came seeking Jesus so they could worship him. You might be wondering, how could they possibly have made such a connection? Well, you don't have to wonder too much, to be honest, because we know they made this connection through the Word of God. God guided these wise men to discover the star and gave them the knowledge of what it meant through what they read in the Old Testament. Long before the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, the scriptures told about the coming of the Messiah. The coming of Jesus Christ should not have been a surprise to anyone because it was foretold in the Old Testament. God chose the people of Israel to be his very own, and God gave them the law, the sacrifices, the temple, and most importantly, the promise of our Lord Jesus Christ, the promise of the Messiah. All of this in which pointed towards the Lord Jesus Christ. All of these promises recorded. First off, in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, I see him, but not now. I perceive him, but not anear. A star will come from Jacob. A scepter will arise from Israel. The promise was connected to an earlier prophecy about the scepter in Genesis 49:10, which says the scepter will not depart from Judah, or the staff from between his feet until whose right is come, and the obedience of the people belongs to him. Taken together, these prophecies speak of a ruler who will come out of Israel, from the tribe of Judah, and the obedience of the people belongs to him. Now in the Numbers prophecy, the star was symbolic of this ruler who was to come. So you can see how it was easy how these wise men related the image of the star in Numbers to this mysterious star that all of a sudden appeared in the sky to the east. A sign that the king of the Jews was finally born. The King of the Jews, the Messiah, had come. And if the obedience of the nations was his, then this Christ was not only the King of the Jews, but the Messiah was the King for all people. So it was very appropriate that even these wise men from a distant land come and worship him. Now you might wonder how the wise men knew the scriptures. Well, if you think back to the Old Testament history, you can recall that when the people of Israel were not faithful to God and his covenant, as they were many times, God scattered them among the nations, sending them into exile. And one of those places was Babylon, later conquered by the Persians. And the prophet Daniel lived during that time. He actually served as an advisor to both Babylon and Persia. And some of those other advisors during that time were also called magi, wise men. But whether it was Daniel who passed these teachings along because of the exile, the scriptures were known in the other lands far beyond Jerusalem, far beyond Israel. And so the wise men had access to the prophecies of scripture. And being astrologers, they would have been particularly drawn to this passage in the scriptures which told about this star and how it was going to connect to the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Another prophecy about the Messiah that might have influence on them was Isaiah 6, or 60, verse 1 through 3. Arise, shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord shines over you. For look, darkness will cover the earth, and the total darkness the people. But the Lord will shine over you, and His glory will appear over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to your shining righteousness. Whatever scripture they knew, somehow they were able to make the connection between the star they saw rising in the east and this ruler who was prophesied in the Old Testament. So they came to worship him. Not only do we see God's creation, and the scriptures highlight it through the star of Bethlehem, you can also consider the miracle of Christmas is shown in the star of Bethlehem. If we're going to understand God's purpose in all this, we must also consider the miracle. Because it is clear in Matthew that this was no ordinary star, was it? It was a miraculous star sent from heaven to mark the birthplace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The star was a miracle in two ways. First, the timing was a miracle. It says in verse 7, it'll be on our screens, then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and asked them the exact time the star appeared. Why was it important to know when the star had appeared? Because Herod had other plans. He wanted to know how old Jesus was. He was planning to kill Jesus. And in fact, when the wise men did not return to him, he set his plan into action. He was furious. He gave orders to kill every boy in and around Bethlehem who was 2 years old and under, in accordance to the time he had learned from the wise men. Well, second, the movement of the star was a miracle. It all started and stopped, and it pointed the way. We know the wise men saw the star in the east. They made the connection to Christ and then came to Jerusalem. There's some question as to whether the star led the wise men all the way from their home to Jerusalem or whether it appeared once they reached Jerusalem and led them to Bethlehem. We don't know, but either way, as they traveled from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, Matthew 2:9 tells us, after hearing the king, they went on their way, and there it was, the star they had seen at his rising. It led them. It led them. Jesus' star led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. So I suppose the question you might ask at this point is, what was the Star of Bethlehem? And I think that's a valid question. I think it's a valid question for people who ask that at this time of year to have an answer to that. What was the Star of Bethlehem? There's many many failed attempts over the years to try to identify what the star really was and the significance it has to the Christmas story. There's been some that tried to say it was a comet or a supernova, but the problem with that is it does not explain the movement of the star. And on top of that, in ancient times, comets were considered a sign of bad things that were going to happen, not a bearer of good news. And there's some that say have tried to talk away the significance of the star by saying the star was some eclipse of two or three planets, But the events like this are pretty rare, and on top of that, they only usually last a couple of nights. This star moved and showed the way. So that couldn't be it. But the only way I see it, and the only way I believe the Scripture sees it, when you take account the events that we all know happened, you will be hard-pressed to find too many ancient historians who will deny the fact that Jesus was actually born in Bethlehem. Historians across the time will say, yes, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. So we're taking with those things in perspective, and the fact that the star guided the wise men to Jesus, it guided them to God's promise of the promise of Jesus, then according to the scriptures, the way I see it, the star is a manifestation of God's glory. And after all, this would not be the first time God would use things of nature to point himself out. God's presence was manifested as a cloud that led the Israelites through the wilderness. It guided them to the promises of the promised land. The star was a manifestation of himself guiding people once again to his promise, the coming of Messiah, the Son of God. And that leads us to the last point this morning. God's purpose of leading people to himself is clearly seen in the Star of Bethlehem. God's purpose of leading people to himself is clearly seen in the Star of Bethlehem. God's purpose for the Star of Bethlehem was simply to point the wise men to Jesus. God used the star to catch these wise men's attention, to bring them to Jerusalem. It was there that they received a full revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ from God's word, when the teachers of the law opened the scriptures and pointed them to Bethlehem as the place of the Christ's birth. Listen once again to verses 3 through 6. When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. So he assembled all the chief priests and scribes, and the people asked them where the Messiah was born. In Bethlehem of Judah, they told him, because this was written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the ruler of Judah, because out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And then the star led them to Bethlehem until it stopped over the place where Jesus was. It was at this point, verse 10 reads, when they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. Why were they overwhelmed with joy? Because not so much because they saw the star in the sky. Because the star led them to their goal. It pointed them to the Messiah. It pointed them to the Lord Jesus Christ. I said all that to say this. God's purpose for the star is the same today. God doesn't want us to get all hung up about the various attempts to explain the star away or trying to figure it all out. No, God wants us to know that he has always and is still leading people to himself. As we wrap things up this morning, prepare for an invitation, what are the applications of all this? What can we learn and discover from this? Well, what can we put into practice? How can we put these things in practice in our Christian life? Well, there's just a few things I thought of. One, can I tell you something? God is still leading people to himself today. Amen? Just like the wise men saw the star in the sky, it had still been a mystery to them unless they looked into God's word to understand why the star existed in the first place. And the same is true for us today. We are told in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, for his, God's invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being understood through what has been made. As a result, people are without an excuse. This is a reference to the general revelation of God. We can see God. We can understand, yes, there is a creator, but simply by looking at the universe, simply by looking at God's creation, we can know that this creation screams of a creator. But knowing there is a God does not save us. Amen? God revealing himself in creation only shows us that we are fallen sinners without excuse. If the wise men had simply said, yes, there is a star, and yes, it's probably sent to us from a higher power, if that's all they did, they would have missed out on Jesus. So what did they do instead? They turned to God's word, and that is what explained to them what the star represented, and that God was the one guiding them to himself. They took God's word by faith and allowed God to take them to Jesus. That's what we call special revelation. God revealing himself through the scriptures. Well, secondly, we don't need a star to lead us to Jesus anymore. We now have the Holy Spirit that leads us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? God's miracle of salvation is revealed to us through the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. The birth of Christ is just the beginning of God's work of redemption. Isn't that right? We know 30 years later that God's plan would be completed. We know 30 years later Jesus would offer his perfect life as a sin offering, and that was needed to redeem us from our sins. The true miracle of Christmas is fulfilled at Easter. Let me say that again. The true miracle of Christmas is fulfilled at Easter. Amen? The Holy Spirit was given at Pentecost, and from that day forward, God has been using His Spirit to lead people to Himself for salvation through the Word of God. This morning, the true miracle of Christmas is just not finding the baby in the manger. It's believing, accepting His work on the cross and the victory at the tomb. If you don't know Jesus this morning as your Savior, I plead with you. I plead with you, come, allow the Holy Spirit to lead you to Jesus. Admit to God that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus truly died, gave His perfect life on the cross at Calvary. He arose again. Confess your sins to the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess Him as your Savior. Commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the purpose of the star, to lead people to Jesus. And today, God is still leading people to Himself. This morning, if you need salvation, allow the Holy Spirit to lead you to Christ. That will fulfill the true miracle of Christmas this morning. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come to You and we thank You so much. Yes, we thank You so much for Your creation. That You are the Creator God. You created everything around us, and even everything in the sky and the universe, Lord. And we know that leads us without excuse. We know that You exist because of those things. But most importantly, we thank You so much for Jesus, Your Word, who guides us, who leads us to Your Son, leads us to Your salvation, Lord. And I pray, Lord, maybe there's someone here this morning that doesn't know You as Savior. This morning, they are lost in their sins. Lord, I pray Your Holy Spirit is leading them to You right now. That there's convicting them of their sins. And that conviction leads to nothing but confession. As they confess their sins to You, they believe that You died on the cross for their sins and that You rose in victory in the tomb. And they allow You to come in their lives. They make You their Lord, their Lord and Savior, Lord. Lord, I don't know what needs to be done during this time, but I know for a fact Your Holy Spirit does. And I know Your Holy Spirit has been here working amongst us, Lord. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.